only one that alone. Hope to be able today to finish in an hour series from Craig John. Amen. Made it all the way through the book.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Every time we finish a book, amen, I wish I had a list of all the books we done finished. Amen. And so hopefully you learn. All right, let's get in. You have your printout. Look on the back or anything in the Bible, either way you want to do it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 21. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that you should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. And the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true and in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. God is a good God. Amen. And He's worthy to be praised. And we're going to, amen. I want to talk this morning as we close this message out. And you might hear that little echo. Maybe they can get it out, maybe not. Amen. That's, Michael T. put that in there for the imitation, to make the imitation ring, and he forgot to take it out. he liked it for the imitation to ring out. All right, so you might have to deal with that ring today. Amen. But we're gonna go ahead and do what the Lord says to. Now, our subject today, our title is "When You Know Better."
Yeah.
When you know better. Amen. When you know better. And then you see I'm starting out with those quotes from Maya Angelou. She says, "I did then what I knew to do. Now that I know better, I do better." And then there's another one that says, "Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better." Amen. Now, and sometimes if you remember, sometimes when you were growing up, your parents would say, "You know better."
Yes, sir.
Yes. And when your parents said, "You know better," you know you want to. You had to straighten up. Because if you didn't straighten up, they'd put the do better on you.
There you go.
You know, every once in a while, a child needs a little do
better.
Amen. Amen. So that's kind of where we're going this morning. When you know better. But, my premise is that we know better,
right?
as believers because we know God better.
That's good. Amen.
And that's what this whole book has been about. I hope you got something out of it. But the whole book is about, it's been about when you, since we know God, since we have that intimate relationship with Him, because of the time we share with Him,
right,
in the Word,
right,
in the prayer, and we're seeing Him in our experiences and in our, as we exercise our spiritual gifts, we're able to know how much He loves us and live in the presence of that love. So because we know Him better, we know better. Right. Amen. So keep that in mind as we try to complete it. Now, one thing about when you know God better, in the further aspect of it is I want to talk about knowing God better concerning that area of prayer. Okay. Amen. Because just knowing God better, or just knowing God even, is what prayer is about.
Amen.
Because you know God so well that you just talk to Him like He's there.
Right. Yeah.
See, you got to, you have to have a relationship with Him. When you just go around talking to Him like He's there. Amen. You know God. See, some people talk about God. But when you just walk around talking to God, and when something is going on in your life, the conversation that flows out to Him.
Yeah.
That's what it's about when you really know God. Amen. Prayer is a sign that you know God. Because people that don't have a relationship, they don't pray to God. They might talk about it maybe once in a while. And if they get in a real bad situation, they may not really know if He's there, but they say, I'm going to give it a try anyway, man.
Wow.
And the first thing I want to say is in the area of supplication. That's when you ask God.
Right, right.
Now, most of the time when we... when we're asking God for something in prayer, we ask for what we want. Is that right? Now look at the scripture, though.
Man.
Look at this scripture. Now we gonna find. I want you to know better. 14 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him." Wait a minute. He said, hey, we got some confidence. We got faith. That if we ask anything, but don't stop there.
Come on out.
Amen. Don't stop there. I read about a little boy. He says he was praying to God. He said, "Now lay me down to thee. I pray to the Lord my soul to keep. If I shall die before I wake, I pray the Lord my toys to break. Because I don't want nobody else playing with me." That's the kind of prayer we pray. It's all about us. Amen. But listen. This is the key to getting your prayer answered. You see those two blanks you got up there? It says, the key to getting your prayer answered is asking God for what God wants.
Okay.
If you ask God for what He wants, rather than what you want. Because it says it right there. It says it right there in the Bible. If we ask anything according to who? His will. What He wants. Because He ain't going to listen to what you want. He said when you ask about what He wants, He hears us. If you ask him about what you want, you might not get heard. But when you're asking him in prayer about what he wants, how do you know what he wants? Because you've spent some time with him. When you spend time with somebody, you kind of know, and you know the person, you can kind of know what they want.
Right.
So is that if you ain't had no time with God in his word, his prayer, you're not living your life in his presence as you walk from day to day, then you won't know what he wants, and your prayer probably won't be answered. Because you're praying what you want. But when you know his will, when you look at the Bible and you know his ways, you know what he wants, and you're able to pray what he wants. Now he says, when you pray what I want, then I hear. And then you have, he says, as soon as you pray, instantly, you'll already have that thing.
Come on now.
You already got it. Amen. It's like ordering something from Amazon. As soon as you push the button, it's already on the way.
Yeah.
You may not have it in your hand right then, but it's yours.
Yeah.
It's coming. It's coming. Amen. If you got prime, it's coming fast.
Yeah.
It could be there tomorrow. Or even the same day.
That's right.
So it's already on its way. Amen. The only thing you don't know when it's going to, I'm going to tell you, when you pray what God wants, the answer is on the way. Now, the problem is, unlike Amazon, you don't have a tracking number.
Come on now. Yeah.
So you don't know when it's going to get there. You just got to wait on it. But I'm going to tell you, amen, if you ask for what it wants, it'll get there right on.
Amen.
Right there when you need it.
Yes.
And we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know we have the petition we ask of him. Now that's when we're asking for stuff. That's supplication. But now also, sometimes you need to, when you see something, you got to go into intercession. Mm-hmm. We move from supplication to intercession. Intercession is when you're praying not about your stuff.
Right.
But you're praying for somebody else.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at this. Because this right here, I had to spend a little time on this. Because it got a little rough through here. All right. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin, which it does not lead to death. In other words, so that's observation. You don't see him. It could be brother or sister. You see them, they just, you know, they don't fail into some kind of sin.
Yeah. Amen.
And you done seen them, it says you need to intercede for them.
Please do.
Amen. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. So you see your brother or your sister going astray, falling into a pattern of sin or a place of sin. It says, after the observation, it didn't say, amen, gossip. It said, right. After the observation, right. There ought to be intercession.
Right.
Don't call somebody else. You talk to God.
Right. Yes.
And it says, when you talk to God, because what you want is from that person, amen, to realize that they're going the wrong way and a repentance or a restoration. Y'all with me so far?
Amen.
So that's what we want. Now, sometimes there might have been an intervention.
Right.
That's what I talked to y'all about. I think I talked about last week. When we go to the person once, and then you go with two people and three, because you're trying to get them, you're trying to restore them before they're ruined. God likes to bring restoration before you ruin your testimony and your ability to live effectively as an effective witness before him. Y'all see what? Now, but Pastor, I see what you're saying. But what about this thing right here? When he says, if a man or a woman sin a sin unto death, don't even pray for it. Y'all see that in the Bible? I wish I had seen it, but it's there. Amen. There is a sin leading death. I do not say that you should pray about that. What is a sin leading to death? And this was pretty controversial. I had to do a lot of research on this. And we don't know. Probably in John's day, they may have known this better. But there's some vagueness about it. But to the best of being able to discern and study, I would say the best answer for this is that prayer that leads to death or the sin that leads to death is not a particular sin. Y'all with me so far? The sin is not a particular, if you do that sin, it leads to death. It's not a particular sin, but it's a sin that you do with a particular attitude.
Right.
When your attitude is stubborn,
right.
Unrepentant,
right.
And can't nobody tell you to stop.
Yeah.
And when your brother, like you said, one brother comes, say, you're messing your life up, you might get turned away from that. And they do it with a humble spirit. And then they go get somebody else that maybe that know you because you don't want no stranger telling you, somebody else that's a friend, and then two of them come and try to tell you. You're trying to do that intervention. And that third person comes and says, no, change around.
Right.
Then they take you to the church. When you take to the church, it could have been the church, actually bring forth church, or a representative, the leadership body of the church. And then they won't even hear the church.
Yeah.
Then, because of their unrepentant stubbornness, Bible says in the Old Testament, stiff-neckedness. And they won't turn around. Paul says, you might be wasting your time praying for that person. I do not say you're praying because it might be a waste of time. They're talking about in 1 Corinthians 5:5 where a brother was sinning and Paul said we're going to turn him over to Satan. We're going to turn him over to Satan because Satan may destroy his thing that's going on in his life, and maybe even physically,
right. But
they'll save his soul.
Right.
And then it's talked about again in 1 Corinthians 11, what it had to do with the Lord's Supper. Because it says some people are taking the Lord's Supper, and they're not taking with the right discernment.
Right.
Because the Lord's Supper at that time make the U-turn. You look at yourself.
Uh-huh.
See what's wrong.
Right.
Make the U-turn.
Right.
If you keep going, you keep drinking and eating, and you ain't made no U-turn, and you know you're headed in the wrong direction, but because of your stubbornness, you refuse to repent. You say, I'm just going to do what I want to do. You can't tell me I'm grown.
I'm living my best life.
When you say all that to God, he's all right.
Okay.
And then Paul said, some are sick.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the word.
Because I rather let me be sick and figure out what made me sick and turn around.
Yes, yeah.
Or he said, then some, even the sickness didn't work, some are asleep, which means some are dead. Y'all see that sin unto death?
Uh-huh.
So then what I'm saying, this sin is serious. It is for a believer, because, amen, he will move you so you won't destroy the reputation of the church.
Amen.
Because the way you live in your life, people know you're a member of the church, you destroy the reputation of the church. So he'll move you up. Now your soul's still saved.
Right.
But you got to go.
Amen.
Well, I'm the proud of figure. Now, when you go home, let me read this scripture right here. Jeremiah 7:16. I'm going to read this to y'all because I think it's important. So I'm going to take time to read. And this is talking about people with the same kind of people I've been telling you about. Jeremiah 7:16. That'd be fine. All right, here we go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start at verse 12. But go now to my place which was in Shiloh, where I said my name at first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people. It's God's people, Israel, but they're wicked. And now because you have done all these works, said the Lord, and I spoke to you rising up early in the morning and speaking, but you did not hear. You won't listen to God. And I called you, but you did not answer. God called you.
Amen.
You didn't call out either. Therefore, I will do to the house which is called my name, in which you trust. Because, you know, they always thought, hey, we can turn into our temple and be saved. They trust more in the temple than they do in God. You just live and doing what you want to do, living life. You won't listen to God. Right. You won't accept God's phone call. Right. But then you say when you get in trouble, you can turn toward the temple and be saved.
Wow.
And to the place when I gave to you and your father and have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brothers, the whole posterity of Ephraim. Now look at 16. Therefore, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Listen to the Bible. Get on. I told you, some of them he ain't going to hear. We just talked about that in the other verse. He's not going to hear you if you just live in, if you just, you know, he gave you a chance to send people to you, turn around. You won't listen. You won't listen. Hard-headed and stubborn and stiff-necked. You just do what you want to do because you think you're wrong. You have the audacity to pull out your driver's license and show God how old you are. Like God don't know. Keep walking in. Yeah. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. Well, let's move on from that. See if we can find it. All right. So that was cease talking about, that cessation. You just cease. But now, I want to tell you, I probably wouldn't do that unless it came to, I would still be praying for, unless it came to a point where God is in my spirit, made me sure that it ain't going to happen. Until then, I'm going to keep praying. But if he just come on this, you're wasting your time. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to turn around. Let me have it. Let me have him. I'm going to work with him.
Yes, sir.
And if I work with him and see him won't turn around, you won't see him. I would say that, y'all, that was in the Bible now. But sometimes it happens when people just won't do right. All right, let's see some more politics. All right. I don't know if it's more. Now, secondly, now that one, that's stuff about prayer. I want you to know this stuff about prayer. Secondly, when you know God better, knowing God better, you'll know better concerning sin.
Right.
You know better concerning sin. Verse 18, I think. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God, keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. All right, go. Oh, this one. When you are born of God, you know sin is not for us.
Amen.
Sin ain't for us. I gave you that other stretch when we hit on this in chapter 3. I said sin to a believer is like Trump. Amen. Yeah, like Donald Trump, you know, the black movement, boy.
Yeah.
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever seen Donald Trump on the side of Black Lives Matter? I'm not saying that he don't, but you ain't never seen it. Well, he just don't fit. I'm trying to respect the position. I'm not saying he don't, but if you saw him there, you'd be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you saw Obama and he had the Confederate flag. Why the president got that federal? I mean, yeah, the Confederate flag. Something don't fit about that. Uh-huh. That's the same thing when a Christian, amen, is living a sinful lifestyle.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's not for me. It's not for me. When you hung out with God enough, you know that sinful lifestyle is not for you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. That sinful lifestyle is not for you. And I think I gave an example, one more example, because I want y'all to get this, why sin is not for you. And why we turn away from sin and accept the victory that in God over our sin. Because he can't give you victory over any sin.
Amen.
He can give you victory over any sin.
Amen.
I told you about the blood knot. Y'all remember that? About up there in Alaska, the Eskimo. And yeah. Polar bear, how did they get seal blood and put it over the knives?
Yeah.
And planted it in the snow, and when the polar bear comes, he begins to lick the seal blood off the knife blade, and he cuts his tongue and uses what he thought was seal blood becomes his blood.
Right.
So he's leaking to his own destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And he dies because he's leaking his own destruction. Well, when you are a believer, God will show you that. He'll show you what sin does to you.
Amen.
He'll say the same thing, amen, that licking that blood knife done to the polar bear. Don't you know sin will do that to you?
Amen.
And you'll say, and it will be really strange when you realize the impact that sin has on your life to keep licking.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like a dog. The Bible says that like a dog we're trying to tell him it already didn't make you sick. I'm trying to show you how terrible sin is. It already made you sick once, and you can go back to the same thing that made you sick once, and you realize the first time you took it at least looked better. But the same thing that made you sick once, you go back to that same thing. Why do we do that sometimes with the sin in our lives? I'm glad that I had somebody pray for me. Had it on their mind. Because, amen, because sometimes even though you realize that, it seems like, amen, because you're so used to it. Before you became a Christian, that thing became a pattern. And a stronghold. And a struggle. For you, so it's difficult, but you got to have somebody praying for you. The key to it is to never give up trying to fight against you.
Right.
And whatever the scripture proverb that says, a righteous man falls 7 times, but he keeps giving up. Amen. I'm gonna still get back up, and I'm gonna try and say, Lord, come on, I need help with this thing.
Yeah.
Amen. Now the other one. You ain't right with God. You don't have the right kind of fellowship. That's the one that say, I'm grown. I'm going to do what I want to do. But if you're in your right mind, you've been hanging out with God. No, no, this thing cannot have victory in my life.
Right.
I'm not going to give up fighting. Because when I give up, that's when the victory comes. I'm going to struggle with it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Until Lord, get me to a point that I'm overcome.
Right.
Now, sometimes it's instant. Sometimes you can do this. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes you have to intervene. Other people have to help you out of this thing.
And
you have to say, Lord, I don't know how you get me out of this thing, but I just want to get out.
Yeah.
If you do it instantly, I'm good. If it's over time period, I'm good. If I got to go to group, I'm good. If I got to go to somebody, help me get my head together. Whatever it takes, Lord.
Yeah.
If I got to have people that I need to be accountable to. Whatever it takes for me to overcome this thing, I'm determined to overcome it. Because I'm not going to allow sin to win.
Amen.
Can't let sin win, because sin will destroy you. Oh. Thirdly, when you know God better, you know better concerning the world. In other words, you know when you get close to God, the world will disappoint us. It'll disappoint. It always overpromises.
Under-deliver.
And underdeliver. The world will say, hey, if you do this, You know that emptiness in you? It'll be filled. And you go out and do it.
And the void's still there.
It'll fill you for about 2 or 3 seconds. If you get that call, you're going to be happy. And you know you can't afford that. You know
right. Right.
I'm not talking about going to get back to work, but you want something. You don't want to get back to work. You want something that when you stop at the red light, you can look around at other folks. Y'all wish y'all were traveling. I know y'all wish y'all did. And you feel like you look at them. But pretty soon, that passes.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, that passes. Maybe it's a man or a woman that you got, and you thought, hey, that's all I need to feel. When you were single, you thought that was all you need to feel your emptiness.
Come on.
But now that you're married, you feel emptier than you were before.
Yeah.
Why? Because you got married for the wrong reason.
Right.
And you got married when you were still empty.
Yeah.
Always get full before you get married.
Because
when you're full when you're getting married, you're not worried about what you can get out. You think about what you can put in. Make sure God fills you up. You got a relationship with him.
Right.
And that's first. Amen. Because if you haven't been filled by God, you will expect a person to fill you in a way that only God can fill you. And you will end up disappointed with the person. It always promised you. If you just had that position, vice president, manager, supervisor, and you made what they made, it'll feel you. If you just got in the Hall of Fame, it'll feel you. If you just have to live in that neighborhood, in that kind of house, it'll feel you. And you, once you work and put all your effort in and those things, and you still wind up empty. Because that hole in you is a God-sized hole.
Yes, sir.
Right,
yes, sir.
Right.
And when you got a God-sized hole, can't nothing fill it but God.
Yes, sir.
Right.
That's why you can stuff it. You can stuff it and stuff it. But you see, because God can only fit. It's made for somebody. That hole is an infinite hole because it takes an infinite God to fit it.
Come on now.
So if you try anything else, you'll never have enough. You'll never have enough popularity, enough power, enough fame, enough property. You'll never have enough of anything else to fit it. Until you get God.
Amen.
You learn that when you're with him. Because he said, you look back over your life and say, man, all those other things that I was trying to fill that hole with, and I could have just had that information with God and been filled all the time.
Yes, sir.
I wasted all those years.
Yeah.
All that money.
That's
all those sleepless nights. I worked, amen, and neglected my family and neglected this thing, thinking if I could just get to this point. And all I needed to fill me at all those times was God. If I would have had him a long time ago,
right.
If I'd have knew then what I know now. If I'd have knew him.
Right.
Like I know him now.
Yes.
I'd have realized I didn't need all that.
Yeah.
You've seen that people, high up, and you hear about on the news, they're OD, committing suicide.
Yeah.
You said they got everything, but they don't commit suicide. Then you see somebody, some grandmother, live over in the hood.
Come on now.
Amen, on Social Security, and get all the help, but she's happy every time you see her. She's as happy as she.
Yeah.
Then she's still trying to help other folks.
Right.
I mean, come over. I got some beans and meat on. Let me give you some of this. I see you're hungry. She feeds everybody.
Yeah.
That happy and joy. Go to church. Shout every Sunday.
Yeah.
She just shouting hallelujah. Let's say, what's wrong with her?
Yeah.
hallelujah. She got that intimate relationship with God. Then there's somebody else sitting on her same aisle. They had church, but they got church, but they don't got Jesus. Oh, I wish I had her. They looking at her. They got a good job. Pretty car out of the parking lot. Dressed in a nice suit. Because they got all that, but they don't know Jesus. And they saying, what's wrong with her? Because she got something to feel.
Yes.
Matter of fact, you feel so much, you overflow. All you seen is the overflow.
Yeah.
When you can't contain all that God has done for you, you do strange stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Grandma got joy.
Yes.
On Social Security.
Yes.
And you got to see speakers and say, oh, I wish I had a witness in this house somewhere. The world over promises and under delivers. Then lastly, when you know him better, you know better concerning eternal life. You know, eternal life is not something you achieve. Not something you can work for. Not something you can earn. It comes by grace. It's not what you do. It's what Christ has already done. And as John has said back in verse 12, he that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son had not life. So in other words, when you know Jesus, you have no life. But if you don't have no Jesus, you don't have no life. You come to the point. Like Luther did after trying, doing all the stuff he could to be sure he was going to heaven. He came to the point where he realized that this eternal life is a gift for the guilty, not a reward for the righteous. You got to say, I'm guilty.
Yeah.
Ain't no reason why I should be in heaven. Ain't no reason why God should care about me. Ain't no reason why you should have a relationship. But it's a gift.
Right.
Because he loves.
Thank you, Lord God.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you.
I don't have to keep working to get to heaven. I can rest assured.
Yes.
I'm sure now. Because not because of anything I've done. I can rest assured at what he's done.
Yes.
That's why I can thank him. Well, let me close that. I think we're going to get out of here a little early. Because we got to go to die. But listen to here what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. My brothers and sisters. When you know better.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
My Andrew said you do better.
Yeah.
But I want to add. I want to add on to that. I want to tell you, when you know better, you worship better.
That's real.
Oh, can I get a witness in here? Because worship encompasses more than doing. Worship encompasses the fullness of the
Lord.
When you know better, you worship better. See, worship just ain't what we do here on Sunday morning. Worship is everything you do in the whole entirety of your life. Worship is saying, God, this is what I want to give you because of all that you've given to me. It's our loving response to all that God has done.
Yes, true.
Listen. Look at this verse. And that last verse, seems like that last verse shouldn't even be there. But this is old John. John with his grandpa John. Talking to the young kids in the church, which might be 60-year-old. They're young to him. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And then he just said, amen.
Amen.
All he said. Now, he's not talking about those idols, those little metal objects. Some of the heathen worship.
Come on,
some of the heathen pagan temples. No, an idol is anything that takes God's place in your heart.
Amen.
Be your job.
My children, come on.
Family.
Yes.
Anything that takes God's place in your heart. Your bank account, anything that takes God's place in your heart is your idol.
That's real.
you for the popularity, for the power, for the pleasure. Property. For life. Followers. Pride. Anything that takes God place in your heart. So what are you saying? Let God have his place in your heart.
Right.
I love you more than anything. Mm-hmm. Is that true in your heart?
Yeah.
Do you love him more than anything? Yeah. Who on earth do I have but you, Lord?
Come on now.
You're so awesome. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about in Romans. That's why I put that Roman verse down. After Paul talks in the first 11 chapters of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. How, amen, he has paid for our sin through faith. We can have eternal life. Then he gets to chapter 12 and says, as I told you, listen, I'm begging you, brother, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Because you know what a sacrifice we use someday. You know, you bought a goat or a lamb, a ram, you killed it. You put it on as a sacrifice. That was the way you worship. You bought a sacrifice. That was your act. We said, no, don't bring me nothing dead no more for sacrifice.
Right.
Now I want you a live sacrifice. Now, the problem with a live sacrifice is they keep trying to fall off the altar. I beseech you, present yourself a living sacrifice. Holy. Under God. And this is your reasonable. In other words, this is the only thing that makes sense. God has been so good to you. The only thing that makes sense is for you to give him your all.
Right.
If you just give him something, that don't make sense. Do he just bless you on something?
Come on now.
If you give him a couple hours, do he just bless you a couple hours?
Amen. Come on now.
If you give God a couple hours, right. If he's your God, he's the one,
right.
He's on the seat of your heart, he's on the throne of your heart, you give him everything, he said, here I am, Lord, here
yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Everything I am, everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord.
Right,
yeah.
Amen.
The stuff I'm not, I need you to work on.
Yeah.
But I'm yours. And then he says, do not, once you get on that altar, because you're supposed to be there, you gave yourself totally to me, do not be conformed to this world.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't gonna be, you ain't gonna be conformed to this world. Can I not be but be ye transformed by the renewing on your mind. Because when you know better, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because when you know better,
you do better.
And not only will you do better, but you worship better.
Right. Amen.
That's why when you spend time with God, have an intimate fellowship with Him. Know him. As you know him better, you know better.
Yes.
And when you know better, not only do you do better,
amen,
you worship better. Amen. And your whole life becomes an act of worship.
Yes, right.
So, that means,
thank you, Lord.
When you're on your way to the car, I'm going to make it practical. When you're on your way to the car,
yeah,
you see somebody in love that walk.
Yeah.
And you pick it up.
Yes.
No more for going to do. We got to look through to see if we've got an eye tonight. But then we want to see what we got in there. They got about 200 or 300 in there. You got a bill, dude. If your worship ain't right.
Come on.
Oh, I wish I had it with you. If your worship ain't right, you won't. You won't. The
talk and worship ain't right. Because God don't mean nothing to you. Only that little money to be something to you. But when you're worshiping right, you know you can't put somebody else's money in your pocket.
Yeah.
Somebody else's bill money. Somebody else's hard-earned money.
Because
it's not yours.
Right.
It don't belong to you. You got to do whatever you have to do to make sure that person get what they got back. Because it's not about you. It's about God.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Right.
And when you represent God, something you can't do.
There it is.
Right.
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 Put that money up while you can't sleep at night.
Right.
That's right.
Right. It's bothering you. Come to church and don't feel right. Got to leave the church
early. Right. Let me go make this right.
Oh, I wish I hadn't did that.
That's real. That's real.
Hard for you to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
$100 to $200 worth of money. And then you forgot. A couple months later, when you lose a little,
right.
What's the old man sold
it? Right.
Come on, sister, that's enough. We got to go.
Yeah.